D&D Versus is a spooky, scary, vile, and violent podcast intended for mature listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. All right, welcome back to D&D Versus. I am Yanata Blue, and here with me once again is...
Chris Single. Or Nathan York. However you want to slice it.
Who's playing who? Art imitating life. Life imitating art. Welcome back to the show. I could just direct people or link people to the wiki for Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, or you could give us a character fact to start off.
I mean, it is the better of the two animated shows, but I think it's important to dive into Chris's hobbies. You know, outside of being Santa previously, Chris developed a love for craft beer and opened Chris's Crossing in his previous world. Chris's Crossing was a gastropub and small plates restaurant that he and his three sons, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, ran. It was quite successful. He wanted people to be able to enjoy savory bites and sweet treats, so he had a full menu of desserts, including, like, table presentations, so they do a Bananas Foster.
Mm.
Their burgers come with fries up front, no extra fees. They're not like one of those gastropubs where they're like, oh yeah, the side is $6 and the burger is $15.
I remember the first time that happened to me at a gastropub where I was like, I ordered a burger and fries, and they were like, no, you just ordered a burger. The fries come separate. And I'm like, it's a $22 burger.
I know. Silly.
You're there for the ambiance, of course. So speaking of ambiance, last episode began with the ambiance of the forest and Chris navigating the sounds of that ambiance through to the circus, where sources and intel have led him to believe that Ludlow and Groucho are currently being kept or imprisoned. Miss Cleo is obviously along the way with you. As you were navigating through the woods, you met a group of green dragonborn who told you that they had recently traded your companions for an item. The leader of the party is named Gil Stein, who told you, fair's fair, this device is what we got in our trade. We traded fairly, regardless of how you feel about your friends having been traded. That's not on us, so we're going to take our device and go. You found out that they're using the device to curry favor with the ancient red dragon that rules over the city of Vanilla, named Hyrax. Finding your way to the circus from there, along the way you did meet some pixie dragons who painted yours and Miss Cleo's clothing a garish rainbow color that will ruin your opportunities for stealth as long as you are dressed. But thankfully, Miss Cleo does not have that sort of limitation. So Miss Cleo, very quickly wanting to go into stealth mode, stripped herself naked and disappeared. While Chris Single was talking with the circus sorcerer and performer named Eisenheim, I think he picked up some pretty bad vibes off of Eisenheim because he departed from him pretty quickly and instead tried to assist Miss Cleo with her infiltration of the tent that you assume is where your friends are being kept. So, lending a hand to Miss Cleo's infiltration by providing a distraction, you put on a muscle show that just absolutely blew everyone in eyesight away, just literally flooring people. And the young pink dragon named Tracy emerged from their tent as the new partner in this circus and immediately demanded a meeting with this young burgeoning talent of impressive musculature. And that's where we're going to begin. Chris Single, you're entering this tent that has been painted in the striped colors of a peppermint candy, and the interior is filled with cushions. It smells of candy and other sweets. You can see a treasure chest in the back piled up with candy and toys. You can see shelves filled on the walls with basically picture dog toys, because I'm picturing a dragon wormling. Yes, they're intelligent, but I mean, you know, I don't think they're playing with like dolls and stuff like that. And you see play sets, you see models of the city of Vanilla and things like that. This is just the tent of a very well-spoiled adolescent child. Tracy goes around a table and climbs into a chair, and there's like a lot of wiggling, as you can tell that they're not used to sitting in a human design chair. And they're very much trying to figure out, like, how are they supposed to do this with their tail? Like, at first they try to, like, stick their tail between the opening, and then they realize that doesn't quite feel comfortable to have, like, just their butt sitting there. So they kind of wiggle their tail. And then the tail is just coming up from between their legs, and their legs are just kind of spread eagle.
Hello, Tracy.
So welcome to the circus. I am the new managing director of talent, and I'm looking for my first act. Would you please take a seat?
Of course.
So yeah, that was quite the impressive show out there, I gotta say. You take very good care of yourself.
You know, I try. After I lost my wife and, you know, my previous profession, I fell on hard times, and working out seemed like the only way I felt happy.
What was your previous profession?
Oh, it probably has someone in this world doing it, but I was Santa Claus.
Give me a persuasion roll.
That's a 12.
The Santa Claus, or part of the organization?
Yeah, in my world, I was the Santa Claus. I know half-orc Santa Claus, not really everyone's idea of jolly old St. Nick, but...
Well, you know, maybe that's how it works in an orc world. I mean, out here, Santa Claus is obviously a dragon.
Oh, well, I look forward to meeting someday this Santa Claus, but, yeah,
Oh, no, you don't want to meet him. My dad is kind of an asshole.
Is your dad Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah, my dad, you know, look at, I mean, yeah, got his problems. You know, he's kind of a busy guy. Obviously, Santa Claus is a very demanding job, but, I mean, that's where I get all my toys. That's where all the, you know, good boys and girls in Vanilla get their toys, you know?
I love that. I never had kids in my world. I adopted some sons later in life and opened up a gastropub, but...
Well, you know, I'm not really looking for anything serious right now. You know, I just kind of broke out from my home, and right now this is more about other positions that you might be considered for. So do you have any experience in bodyguard work? Let's start there. Maybe we can go from bodyguard to, you know, close burgeoning emotional arc to surrogate father, but let's start with bodyguard.
You're right. Yeah, as I said, I ran my own gastropub. In that, you have to bounce people on occasion. They get rowdy. So, yeah, I can also do this, and I'm going to lift up something heavy nearby me. What do I have around me that I could just grab and lift?
Gosh, what is in this dragon's tent that's super heavy? I guess you could go over and grab the treasure chest. Give me a perception roll.
Yeah. That's an 8.
With an 8, the treasure chest is the most obvious thing you see.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try and lift that treasure chest.
I need you to make a dex save.
Ooh, 17.
You hear, well, as you approach the treasure chest, and you already have your hands on it, and you hoist it up, but just as you lift it over your face and he comes back into your view, you see him rearing his head back with a fireball in it, and you jump out of the way as this fireball just flies past your shoulder and burns a hole through the tent and hits into the woods and actually sets some shrubbery on the other side on fire.
Put down my horde! What are you doing? Do you know anything about dragons? Are you a complete idiot? Put down my horde.
Oh, I was just showing you how strong I am. I'm not going anywhere. And I set the chest down gently. It's still here. It hasn't left the room. I was just showing you how strong I am.
And he kind of looks a little ashamed. But he kind of taps his claws on his table and says, you are very strong. And I suppose it would be useful for a bodyguard to be able to safely transport my horde if it were needed. So, yes, if you could retake your seat. You've passed the strength part of the examination that I had prepared and the agility part of the examination. So that's two checks in your favor. You mentioned that you also have skills as a cook. And since I am looking to fill multiple open positions at this time, your versatility is certainly a credit to you. I've seen that you have the X factor of a performer on stage. So let me ask you, do you have any experience in choreography or scripting?
Well, that's more of a natural talent than a trained. But yes, I have a great desire to show off my muscles when the opportunity arises, because I know that people are delighted by bodybuilders.
Boy, howdy are they. I mean, nothing sells like a good, well-oiled pair of muscles. Do you have any allergies?
No known allergies, although I will say my brother Krampus is someone I'm allergic to being around.
Okay. No allergies to fish or anything like that?
I haven't encountered it yet, so let's just say everything's on the table.
Okay, good. Because one of the opportunities that we have here is obviously putting your muscles to use as part of my act of the show. You know, just as a cost-saving measure, we're going to be using some of the fry cook oil left over from preparing the fish and chips for the patrons. So, you know, in case you had a fish allergy, might have been an issue. But hey, you're all clean. You're all good to go. Seems like this might have been meant to be. Put her there. And he holds out his forepaw.
Well met. And I look forward to proving to you my value on a daily basis.
Hey, Chris. Seems like Miss Cleo's made some progress. You want me to tap him in?
Yeah. Obviously on the sly, if possible.
So, let me show you around. So Tracy begins taking you around his tent and just basically showing off his toys to you. So you have a moment where he's just going to ramble a little bit. You hear Miss Cleo.
I have found Groucho and Ludlow. And thanks to your distraction, I have been able to secret them out of the tent. They are both in fine condition. They were not shackled. They were being convinced to be a part of the show's less savory aspects, shall we say. And you hear Groucho saying,
yes, they wanted to make use of my abilities to pickpocket, and I was supposed to hide under the stands and pickpocket the patrons as they were enjoying the show. I didn't quite like the idea, so I'm glad Miss Cleo found me. Am I to understand that the new Steven, new Pam, new Silvo, and there was another new one in between, a new Norm, and you're now Santa Claus?
Chris Single. But if you feel like you must call me Santa, you can. I just cannot legally...
Oh no, I absolutely don't want to. You never bought me any gifts.
It's fair. It seems this world has a dragon Santa.
Oh no, this world has a dragon that thinks he's Santa, but he really...
And Miss Cleo interrupts.
That aside, we are going to depart to the northern end and mingle and mix into the crowds as much as possible. I think that would be the easiest way since the woods seem to be populated with less savory denizens. And then we can take the highway to get to the city of Vanilla.
Okay, I have an out. I'm gonna make my way to you. You said the northern part?
Yes. It is where the main entrance to the carnival grounds is erected. We will meet you at the entrance, and we will take the highway to Vanilla.
Tracy, I don't mean to be rude, but since arriving in the area, the festival, the carnival, I haven't had the opportunity to relieve myself, and I don't want to be rude, but, you know, road food can be tough on the tummy, as it were.
Oh, well, you know what? Just go right through that hole that you made in my tent. How about that?
It's more of a messy situation.
Oh, well, why don't you go out through the hole in my tent and go take care of that?
I thought you meant, like, use the facilities.
Oh, my God, what is wrong with you people? My dad told me that humans were gross, but my God.
Fair read. Just the way you worded it made me think that that's what you were telling me, and, you know, I don't know. Dragon customs.
No, read context. Oh my God, I don't want to hire you anymore. Get out of here. That's gross.
All right. Well, I think you're rather a wonderful person, and I really am honored to have spent time with you today. I think you have a lot going on for yourself.
Yeah, I think that I kind of regret shaking your hand. My God. Ugh.
No, I'm clean. I just, you know. You eat enough wild mushrooms, you start to get a burbly gut.
Why are you still here talking? I told you to just go.
Okay, well, it's an honor and a delight, and I bow and I leave.
So he goes out. You see him walking out the front of his tent. You walk out through the hole that he made in his own tent with his fire breath. You are currently on the eastern side of the sort of carnival grounds that I described last session. And if you need a reminder, the main tent is sort of like in the very center, which would be to the northwest of you. You have more storage and utility tents. You don't immediately see Miss Cleo, Ludlow, or Groucho anywhere, but you do hear Ludlow and Groucho in your head saying, "We also happen to know the location of Mr. Beepo, so we will acquire him. Send him through the woods and have him circle around and meet us at the entrance. So you just need to pick a route to get to the entrance. Do you want to go through the woods or do you want to go through the center, back through the central part of the carnival, or do you want to go south and do a big loop around?"
I know I can't hide with this outfit, but ideally circling around seems like the best way to avoid running into Tracy again.
So are you just going to go directly east, like just beeline straight into the cover of the woods then?
Yeah, but like stay on the outskirts, like just around the outside of it.
So if you go directly east from where you come out of the back of Tracy's tent, it's basically like just a 50-foot stretch to get to like tree cover. Just give me a stealth roll added. Well, actually, let's just make it a neutral stealth roll because you're supposed to have disadvantage with the clothing.
That's a nat one.
Ooh. So you get into the woods and you go maybe about 30, 40 feet in. So that way you can still keep an eye on the carnival grounds as you're traipsing through. But this is very thick wood. So you're dealing with a lot of shrubbery. You really have to kind of wade through the dense, foliage and things like that. You are still within sight of the carnival grounds. You hear the noise of the show under the big tent having begun once you reach the woods. And by the time you've covered maybe about a quarter of the length of the carnival heading northward to circle around towards the entrance, you begin to hear a wailing. It sounds as if screams are coming from the tent. What does Chris Single do?
Screams are coming from the tent?
From the big tent, yes.
Oh, boy. I'm going to check in with the team in my head. Is everyone okay? I'm hearing screaming from the tent. Are you guys safe and outside of that?
We're all gathered at the northern entrance, but we are beginning to see a tumult as if something calamitous is happening within the grounds. Do you have visuals on what could be taking place?
I was circling on the outside. I'm just hearing the screaming. Do you think we should just try and move away from this entire affair, or should we investigate?
I am feeling the same energy as something passing through the veil as when Elder Sister would contact us. Something has come through the door. Something on these grounds has summoned the groom.
So the groom is here.
Or an aspect of him.
Well, everything I've heard is that the groom is terrifying and not great. So I don't imagine a singles combat would favor me very much.
Yes. Make your way to us and we can regroup and formulate a plan. Right now it seems as if people are evacuating safely and making it through the gate here, but we will remain in place until we need to realign on a separate rendezvous point.
Okay. As much as Chris is very much worried about the people in the tent, he's going to try and make his way north.
So I want to ask you a question about Chris Single's history with Christmas. What was Chris Single's favorite song to hear Mrs. Claus sing at Christmas?
It's not a pretty rendition, but she did a Marilyn Monroe-style happy birthday, but as Santa Claus is coming to town. She would do a burlesque performance of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and then they would, you know.
I want to ask you something. Did you come up with that because you know there was like a 99.9% chance that I am going to try to do a version of that? Are you doing that to me?
It just seemed like the right choice.
I don't even know if I know the words to it. Hang on. I'm going to look it up because this is crucial, and you know where this is going now. You cannot see her. But somehow, as the screams are moving away from you, as they are getting farther away, and you hope that they aren't just being quelled and snuffed out, you do hear a voice, and you do hear her voice singing.
You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you.
I think my ex-wife is here. Do you think I still have a chance with her?
I think that if you are going to have any chance with her, you need to be honest with her and first clarify your current feelings for me with her. Would you not agree, Ludlow? Yes, I think that you should tell her about this new lady in your life, but also, how is she also here?
So, Augie told me that I came here via portal, and that there's a tear or some kind of disturbance that's causing me and the people who keep switching out with me to be transported into this realm, and that the groom is somehow involved in all this and is creating these temporal disturbances. Back at Augie's place, tentacles kept coming out of the walls and paintings, and I think it's increasing with each time one of us passes into this world. Augie said he's working on it and trying to figure it out, but it seems that whatever force caused the original problem, it seems that they're trying to do more.
Give me a wisdom save.
That wasn't that one. I just took lucky as my feat. I'm going to reroll that one. 15.
Ludlow screams in the telepathic, and Groucho also expresses surprise as they say,
"Oh my god, the tent, it's on fire! What's happening in there?"
You, on the other hand, don't see fire. You see an enormous tentacle shoot up from the very center of the tent, and it whips around, and the tent doesn't burn. It disintegrates, as if being eaten away by purple ember, until it's just nothing but dust.
All right, we're getting out of here. I'm headed to you right now. Double time.
You hear Miss Cleo's voice say, "You saw the truth. You saw that the Groom actually destroyed it and took it from our world. It never was and it never will be." And Chris, as you're running, give me a perception roll.
Another luck roll. That's a 19.
So with a 19, you hear Mrs. Claus singing again. Remember, you're on the outskirts of this carnival, so there are all these like small tents and attractions and stands set up, so you're able to see snatches of like sort of the main avenue that led up to the big tent. And as you're running, somewhat impossibly at first, you catch a glimpse out of your peripheral vision to the side of Mrs. Claus. And then as you keep running and you're getting this like, foom, foom, she's keeping pace with you even though she's standing perfectly still, but thanks to your roll, after the third time of that passing illusion, you don't see Mrs. Claus. You see the tentacle writhing, the same tentacle that burst up through the tent, and it's beckoning to you. And at the same time, you're also seeing this sort of illusion, this sort of mirage of Mrs. Claus continuing to sing and beckoning to you. And you reach the northern end, and when you stop finally, you don't see the tentacle. You don't see Mrs. Claus. You don't even know if that entity that is both of them is actually following you. But you do see Miss Cleo, Ludlow, and Groucho waiting with Mr. Beepo as the last of the people race from the carnival. What do you do?
Beepo, can you carry us?
And he kind of wiggles, and he just looks very ready and happy to see you. You're in a situation where, yes, there is urgency, but everybody is able to climb onto Mr. Beepo. The road that leads out from where this circus set up heads in two directions. One road heads southeast, and the other one continues north, continuing through the forest. Which way do you go?
And there's no visible cues to which one leads to Vanilla, or do they both end up at Vanilla?
Ludlow would just tell you, Vanilla's to the north.
And that's where we're going. Right, Miss Cleo?
And Miss Cleo says in all of your heads, yes, onward to Vanilla. We may have other considerations to deal with when we get there, but I believe we can deal with things as they come to us.
It's time to save Alpha Case.
Mr. Beepo takes off, and I would ask you to give me another perception roll as you're fleeing.
18.
You, as you are racing up the road on Mr. Beepo, you can see the carnival is going up in flames behind you. You see a bright light growing in the forest to your left as you're racing by it, and it flies towards you all. You have an opportunity for one action to deal with this energy that is flying at you. You all are currently mounted on Mr. Beepo, so what would you like to do?
Okay. Chris is going to lean forward. Onward, Beepo. And he's going to use his years of practice of flying in the sky and dodging the many obstacles that exist to help guide Beepo from avoiding getting struck by this cloud.
All right. I will give Mr. Beepo advantage on the deck saving throw thanks to that. So unfortunately, Mr. Beepo has so many people on his back that despite his best efforts, and you see him straining with every last drop of his strength, he gets out of like dead center of this, but this attack has a radius as it hits just behind his hind legs and expands out into a 20-foot radius sphere. And I'm going to roll damage as his failure does mean failure for all of you. So first you all take 28 fire damage to start.
Oof.
It's not over yet. And then you take 29 necrotic damage.
Oh my goodness.
All of you are flung from Mr. Beepo. You are lying on the ground facing Groucho, whose eyes are fluttering. You can see Ludlow, crumpled and broken, off in the grass, just off the road. Further up the road, you can see Miss Cleo reaching an arm out for you, and then collapse. And you can see Mr. Beepo's breathing, struggling, and slowing as your own vision begins to dim. How much HP do you have left?
11.
So you're able to get to your feet. All of your party members are at 0 HP. From 40 feet away, you see a figure emerge from the dark of the tree line, and you know that this is the person who attacked you. They are wearing dark armor emblazoned with the sigil of the Church of Honda Days, and on their bracer, you see on the inner wrist of their forearm, a piece of paper has been sort of plated over. And they look at the paper and they say, Chris Single?
Yeah, that's me. You mind bringing my friends back from near death? Or are you going to make this a much less happy introduction?
I would be happy to trade a life for a life. I'm charged by the church for the good of all things to kill you, and then to kill the one that comes after you, and the one that comes after them. Chris Single, I will agree to this honorable exchange if you allow me to visit death upon you.
I'm sure you're just a hired gun here, but every time I'm replaced, that fissure, the thing that just destroyed that entire circus, gets bigger and stronger and worse.
That fissure, that doorway, grows wider and better and greater. Your death opens the way to salvation. And he draws his sword.
That's nuts.
Let's roll some initiative.
That's an 11.
All right, I need you to make a constitution saving throw to start.
Dirty 20.
Begin to smell something. It smells like rotten eggs. You notice this cloud is creeping around you. And to your right, farther up the highway coming up to flank you, you see Eisenheim. And you are going to take 6 poison damage thanks to your save, as Eisenheim is casting a spell to form a poisonous cloud around you to weaken you.
How far away is Eisenheim from me?
So I would say Eisenheim is only 15 feet behind you. The knight is 20 feet ahead of you. But yes, you are pincered.
Chris is going to touch everyone and break one of those glow sticks.
Ooh, I like it. Give me a performance roll, because you do have to do the dance.
18.
They're mesmerized by the movement of your hips, even when so enfeebled and so injured. And as their mesmerized looks fill with light, that light comes out of their eyes and fills your vision until all you can see is white, and then the white fades. And you are in the sitting room where you can see Verfall and Augie are examining the tentacle that came out of the wall to attack Norm earlier. And Augie turns. Wow, I didn't expect to see you back here, old friend. At least not so
quick. We need help, Augie, please.
Oh, wow. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Stat, stat, stat. So all of your companions get taken to various rooms of the house. And for maybe an hour, 2 hours, it's just frantic. It's just everyone is running around. Mr. Beepo is also with you. So he is left in the living room because it's hard to move such a large creature amongst like a standard house. But after about an hour of healing, there is a knock at the door. I'll say that Chris happens to be the closest to it, and you would recognize Liliana is at the door, the forest deity that sent Norm on the mission to free Cerberus in the first place. She looks concerned. She looks concerned, but not worried. And she asks, you saved him. You've kept him alive. Can I see him? Can I see my child?
Your child?
My child of the forest, Mr. Beepo.
Oh, yes. He tried valiantly to dodge a horrendous attack, and we're all grievously injured. I'm the only one, thankfully, who kept his wits about him, and I was able to transport us all here to Augie's house. You're going to play nice with Augie, right?
And she says, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, all the help is needed. Come in.
As she passes by you, she whispers, my sister says thank you.
Tell Raven it's a debt paid, and I'd gladly help her again.
She nods and says, if you do ever manage to cross her path, she said she will have a reward for you, but she cannot find you. Only the dying can find her. And she sniffs the air and says, thankfully, it doesn't seem as if Raven will be visiting this house anytime tonight. Credit to Augie and you and Verfall.
Verfall is shockingly so adept at caring for these poor injured people and creatures.
She goes to the living room where Mr. Bebo is currently curled up sleeping. He's got some bandages on his hind legs, and he's got like a nice little bowl of fruit. And she just gives him a big hug, and his ears twitch and his nose twitches. And she lays a hand on him and she says, what would you like him to be skilled at? And so I can give him proficiency in one saving throw so that he'll actually get a bonus next time he tries to do something. What ability would you like me to note that Mr. Bebo now has proficiency in?
I think Bebo's greatest need right now is the ability to see threats coming and maneuver away from them.
That's a good answer. She lays her hand and puts a blessing of anointment on Mr. Bebo to give him proficiency in dex saves. She reaches into her pouch and pulls out a amulet with an ankh symbol on it, and she hands it to you. And she says, you've impressed and pleased my sister, who has been confused and frustrated by you and your companions that occupy that body or have occupied that body. She understands that most of you are going to be useful in sorting out whatever is coming to pass. She cannot speak to you directly, but she might be able to leave you messages in the form of dead drops that you can find, and you can use these to potentially find them.
I take this gift with great humility. I grab the ankh necklace and bow and then put it on.
And she stands up, dusts herself off, and says, and just so you know, when I say dead drop, I mean kind of literally.
I had a feeling.
She will leave the message with a dead person. You use that amulet to speak with dead, and then they might have a message for you from her.
All right. So this is a corpse finder necklace.
It's a corpse speaker.
I appreciate it. Any gift to help us survive this tumultuous world and get my friends to Vanilla so that we can save Alpha Case and hopefully hold court with Hyrax, because it seems like it goes all the way to the top.
Yes, speaking of that, I observed something in the woods. Did you really just let those green dragonborn folk just walk away with the Dr. Frankenfurter invention thing?
I'm sorry, you wanted me to do exactly what in a camp full of green dragonborn besides befriend them?
Okay, touche. Fair point. Just make note of that, because he needs it, and if he gets a hold of it, it could be a problem. It might also be useful in stopping whatever the machine is that he has going on in the capital city.
Fair enough. Yeah, I knew it was important, and I knew that having seen its abilities, that it's possible that we've encountered people pretending to be other people already.
Also, it's just not the kind of thing that I really feel comfortable letting a megalomaniacal, narcissistic dragon who thinks he's Santa Claus hold on to.
Yeah, well, I mean, Gil and the team are still on their way there. I don't think they've necessarily made it to Hyrax.
Gil's not the worst guy, but his priorities are a little bit.
He's just trying to protect his own. I get that.
He cares a lot about his people. They have a hard time from the blues and reds in the city of Vanilla, and he's just trying to do what he can for them. If it ends up lining his pockets a little bit, you know, he also accepts donations from questionable sources too, like the church.
I mean, he did sell people into some kind of servitude, so he doesn't have scruples.
Yeah. I mean, as I understand it, Groucho was going to be a sort of like, the circus's main pickpocket for life or something like that? Yeah. Not the best. Probably not a bad thing that circus burned down, but I do not like the degree of that incursion that came through.
It was a very large tentacle. As you can see, the incursions are happening here too. So I don't know if that's because of me specifically, or it's just the world itself is becoming less stable.
Maybe both. There have already been multiple deaths leading up to you. So while your death is going to continue opening the door to other worlds, which is going to exacerbate the tears overall, it doesn't help that, hey, there have already been doors opened and that the groom can use the link between your world and ours to bring in aspects of itself.
That's why I think you saw what you saw. You saw somebody from your world, and that's why they're here now.
How is the king bringing in aspects of myself into this realm?
Well, because you fell through in the vacuum of what Miss Cleo's people call Elder Sister, creates a sort of tunnel, a jet stream, through which the groom can then pull things through like a hook and then push them into this world the same way you got pushed. And in pushing those things through, the aspect of himself comes through. But what we're seeing is that that's sort of it's a conduit for him to push a piece of himself through. But he's not pushing him himself. He's using that as sort of a finger puppet that then gets pushed through the hole.
Like one of those little kids' pop-up books where you control the little caterpillar and show that it's eating the leaves.
Yes, exactly like those. I love those. You have those in your world. Your people make them.
Santa Corp churns out tens of thousands of those annually for little boys and girls.
Okay, yeah, I don't do them as books. I do them as stage plays, but forest life aside, hashtag forest life. I don't know who I was doing that for.
After that last encounter, I think we all need a good long rest.
Well, I think Augie can deposit you a little bit more closely to the city of Vanilla. And Augie walks in, wiping his hands, just covered in red. And he says, "Don't mind me, I was just making a pizza for dinner." Now, there's a bit of a situation with the city of Vanilla. Apparently, all the refugees from the city of Panda are currently stuck outside of its southern gates. Hyrax won't allow them or the Order Infernus in. He says that it's just an excuse for the Order Infernus to sink their hooks into his city. So, we're gonna have to take you around the long way. The northern gate might be easier to get to because the refugees have been corralled there. If you go that way, you're gonna get stuck with them until they can reach a resolution. And you don't seem like the type of person who wants to waste time with diplomacy.
I think in this specific instance, haste is more important than diplomacy. I think that it would serve everyone in this realm to have us move quickly.
Okay, well, let's get you prepared to do some mountain climbing.
Thank you for listening to D&D Versus. This episode features Nathan York as Chris Singu, and yours truly, Yanata Blue, as your Dungeon Master. D&D Versus is not affiliated with Wizards of the Coast, but you can support our podcast and get access to additional content at patreon.com/D&D Versus. Our next episode comes at you August 7th. Thanks for listening.